This is the evening update on 88.5 KCSN. I'm Natasha Arango with complete coverage of the day's events in the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles County. In our report tonight, a woman critically wounded in the Santa Monica shooting rampage has died, bringing the total number of victims killed by the gunman to 5. The nation's organ transplant system is being challenged to give dying children under 12 equal access to obtain lungs from a donor. 64% of uninsured Americans haven't decided if they will buy health coverage for next year. The Supreme Court is allowing states to gather DNA evidence from anyone arrested for a serious crime. A growing number of scandals and the targeting of conservative political groups have American taxpayers not trusting the Internal Revenue Service. In Southern California weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s. Areas of low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, becoming sunny in the afternoon. High in the lower to mid 80s. Students have returned to classes at Santa Monica College today, following the shooting rampage last week that claimed the lives of 5 victims on the campus and surrounding neighborhoods. They are taking final exams under heavy security. 26-year-old Marcel Franco died yesterday, surrounded by family at the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center. Her father, 68-year-old Carlos Franco, was killed instantly as the two were in his Ford Explorer at the school on Friday. He worked as a groundskeeper at Santa Monica College. Margaret Quiñones Perez was a relative of the two victims.
Our blessing is that daddy and daughter got to die together. And then he got to say that he loved his wife, without even knowing that that was the last time he was going to say he loved her.
Police officially named the suspect as 23-year-old John Zawari. Investigators trying to determine why the gunmen planned the shooting spree are focusing on a deadly act of domestic violence that touched off the mayhem. The bodies of the killer's father and brother were discovered inside their burned-out home. The house went up into flames after the first shootings. 55-year-old Samir Zawari brought his family to the neighborhood of small homes and apartment buildings in the mid-1990s. Not long after arriving on Yorkshire Avenue, the couple went through a difficult divorce and split custody of their two boys. On the campus of SMC, students were seen leaping out of windows of a classroom building and running for their lives. Others locked themselves behind doors or bolted out of emergency exits. Deborah Fine was shot as she sat in her car.
He hit me in the left shoulder that was facing him, and I felt the bullet go in, and then I just kept hearing more shooting into the car, and then I felt the bullets go into my right arm.
Fine said the gunman wore black clothing and had a cold, intense stare. She said he had no hesitation in firing the weapon. Santa Monica Police Chief Jacqueline Seabrooks says the murderer who planned the attack was capable of firing 1,300 rounds. The shooter had an AR-15 assault-style rifle, a .44 revolver, a tactical vest, and dozens of magazines of ammunition. Seabrooks says Zawari armed himself as if ready for battle. The shooter fired at least 70 rounds in the Santa Monica College library before he was shot to death by police officers. Police have not yet uncovered a motive for the gun rampage, but say it was definitely planned in advance. Authorities are trying to determine whether Zawari had mental health problems that might have sparked the rampage. Santa Monica College administrators have scheduled a memorial service during tomorrow night's commencement ceremonies. The school has been making counseling available to faculty, staff, and students. An unprecedented challenge is being made to the nation's organ transplant system. A federal judge has allowed 2 dying children to be eligible for lung transplants from adult donors. This decision could have ramifications for thousands of people awaiting new organs. The family of a 10-year-old girl challenged a lung transplant policy that matches children under the age of 12 with pediatric donors, which are rare. In the current system, available organs have been offered first to adolescents and adults on the waiting list. The family said their daughter Sarah would die without a new set of lungs. They argued that children under 12 should have equal access to adult donations. This has raised questions about whether the rules for the nation's transplant policy need to be changed. It is a balancing act that involves doctors, assessment committees, and patient advocates. The goals include limiting wait times and getting organs to patients who stand the best chance of success. Nearly two-thirds of Americans who do not have health insurance are uncertain if they will purchase the coverage by the January 1st deadline. InsuranceQuotes.com, which serves as an online marketplace for consumers and insurers to seek and provide quotes for insurance coverage, has surveyed 1,000 adult Americans regarding health insurance. One of those surveyed, nearly 50% believed that the Affordable Care Act will make it more difficult for them to get tests and procedures done in a timely manner. Senior insurance analyst with InsuranceQuotes.com, Laura Adams, says that people are reluctant on what the cost of health insurance will be.
Hopefully, as October 1 rolls around and people have the opportunity to get onto the healthcare exchanges and really do some shopping, you know, they probably won't really get some clarity on this until they know for sure what it's going to cost out of their pocket to buy health insurance.
A total of 61% of the uninsured say they don't have insurance because they can't afford it. The site also showed that about 70% of low-income Americans are unsure if they qualify for tax credits that would subsidize their purchase of health insurance, despite the fact that they would most likely qualify. And a total of 58% of adults, insured or not, didn't know whether they will be eligible for a tax credit to offset their purchase of health insurance. Under the ACA, uninsured Americans have until the beginning of 2014 to purchase insurance through health care exchanges being set up nationwide or other venues, or face a financial penalty. The Los Angeles City Council has approved Mayor Villaraigosa's final budget. KCSN's James Jewett reports the spending plan calls for raises for city employees.
The budget for the next fiscal year is $7.7 billion. It calls for the restoration of key services, including the addition of 65 firefighters. 533 new vehicles will be purchased for the Los Angeles Police Department. The spending plan includes funds for the trimming of an additional 35,000 trees. The mayor's budget sets the stage for many city workers to get a 5.5% raise in 8 months. The vote to implement the pay raise must occur between now and January 1st. City Councilman Eric Garcetti says the pay hike is legally due to the Coalition of LA City Unions, which represents about 18,000 non-public safety employees. A spokesperson for the Service Employees International Union says the city is no longer teetering on insolvency. But Chief Administrative Officer Miguel Santana warned that LA's budget deficit for 2014-2015 will grow to $108 million unless the city eliminates the 5.5% pay hike. Mayor-elect Garcetti says employees' concessions will be needed to erase a budget shortfall the following year. This could impact pensions or health care. Villaraigosa's budget placed the money for the raises into a special fund. This sent a clear signal that awarding the pay increase would not affect other city services or the reserve funds for emergencies. James Jewett, KCSN News.
The Supreme Court has cleared the way for police to take DNA samples from all people arrested in serious crimes. This is a major step towards expanding a national database. It will match new suspects to evidence from old crime scenes. The decision means that a mouth swab for DNA is likely to be as common as taking fingerprints. Investigators say DNA testing is the most effective way to catch serial killers, rapists, and other violent criminals. Alan Butler is with the Electronic Privacy Information Center. He says the DNA material will be accessible for a long period of time.
DNA really contains an entire map of a person's genome and in some ways their medical and really personal history. And once the sample is seized, there's no rules about destroying that sample after it's been entered into the federal database.
The Supreme Court vote was a close 5-4. Dissenting judges argued that this is an unjustified expansion of police powers. Justice Antonin Scalia said taking DNA has nothing to do with the identification and everything to do with the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable searches without probable cause. Advocates for crime victims have lobbied for DNA testing laws across the country. Black Americans were nearly four times as likely as whites to be arrested on charges of marijuana possession in 2010, despite data that revealed both groups used the drug at similar rates. Researchers say the growing numbers of disparities in marijuana arrests are consistent, even across counties with large or small minority populations. Professor of Criminology, Law, and Society at the University of California, Irvine, Mona Lynch, says that police agencies are reliant on making arrests dealing with charges of marijuana in order to further charge those individuals for other offenses if possible.
Some police agencies may justify it on the grounds that, hey, if we can get little things, then we can kind of find out if these people that we're targeting are involved in more serious things, see if they have guns or see if they're involved in gangs.
Even though public attitudes towards marijuana soften and a number of states decriminalize its use, half of all drug arrests in 2011 were marijuana-related charges. In some states, including Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois, blacks were about eight times as likely to be arrested. The new data was drawn from police records from all 50 states and District Columbia. In 2011, marijuana use grew to about 7%, up from 6% in 2002 among Americans who said they used the drug in the past 30 days. Investigations into the IRS have showcased the many missteps that have occurred over the past few years. Acting IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel says the American people no longer trust the Internal Revenue Service and they're committed to fixing the problems. The commissioner says they must have the trust of the American taxpayer.
The agency stands ready to confront the problems that occurred, hold accountable those who acted inappropriately, be open about what happened, and permanently fix these problems so that such missteps do not occur again.
An inspector general's report last month says the agency spent $50 million to hold 220 conferences during the past few years. The report also says that IRS targeted conservative groups applying for tax-exempt status. In the midst of all the President Obama is asking Congress to allow a 9% increase on the agency's budget, the money would enforce more tax laws, improve taxpayer services, and implement initiatives. Obama has ordered the acting commissioner to conduct a 30-day review of the agency's operations. Trial lawyers in California are seeking to eliminate caps on pain and suffering damages. Consumer Attorneys of California recently spent $6,600 to put up a billboard in West Sacramento. It features a 6-year-old Los Angeles County child who died in 2010, allegedly after a doctor examined her numerous times but failed to detect a whooping cough. The coalition is committed to spending $1 million in working to eliminate a $250,000 cap. They say the current regulations and laws are unjust and discriminatory. Eliminating the cap would increase healthcare costs statewide by the billions of dollars. The State Assembly has approved legislation to establish part-time carpool lanes in Southern California. It would allow lone motorists to use the lanes during off-peak hours. Access to the high-occupancy vehicle lanes would be available after rush hours. In Southern California weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s. Areas of low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, becoming sunny in the afternoon, highs in the lower to mid-80s. I'm Natasha Arango, KCSN News. Listen each weeknight at 5 p.m. for the KCSN Evening Update from the award-winning Cal State Northridge Journalism Department.